Please stand. We'll read the gospel. Our gospel comes from Luke 21, 5 through 19. Some people were talking about the temple, how it was decorated with beautiful stones and ornaments dedicated to God. Jesus said, "As for the things you are admiring, the time is coming when not even one stone will be left upon another. All will be demolished." They asked him, "Teacher, when will these things happen? What sign will show that these things are about to happen?" Jesus said, "Watch out that you aren't deceived. Many will come in my name saying, 'I am the one,' and 'it's time.' Don't follow them. When you hear of wars and rebellions, don't be alarmed. These things might happen first, but the end won't happen immediately." Then Jesus said to them, "Nations and kingdoms will fight against each other. There will be great quakes and wide-scale food shortages and epidemics. There will also be terrifying sights and great signs in the sky. But before all of this occurs, they will take you into custody and harass you because of your faith. They will hand you over to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will provide you with an opportunity to testify. Make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance. I will give you words and wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to counter or contradict. You will be betrayed by your parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends. They will execute some of you. They will hate you because of my name. Still, not a hair on your head will be lost. By holding fast, you will gain your lives." Here ends the gospel. You may be seated. So probably a decade ago or so, there was a social media, I think it started on Tumblr, but then went across all social media, that ended up being popular enough you wrote a book. And it was called Reasons My Kid Is Crying. And when it first started, it was a dad who had a couple toddlers. And when his kid would cry, he'd post about it. And then it caught on as a trend, and other people shared the reasons their kids were crying. Things like, his teacher said no to someone else. We told him that he looked very handsome. Her sister gave her a kiss. I asked him for a high five. I wouldn't let her eat the dog food. I will tell you, I have had a lot of tears shed because I will not let my children eat dog food. It didn't take me long to come up with my own list, having a middle of being a toddler and a budding toddler, reasons that my kids cry. Just the other day, Gwen insisted it was very vitally important that we take a headlamp with us to the curling club. And she was first upset that she couldn't get the headlamp on her head, so she threw it over to Olivia, and then she spent the rest of the drive to Brainerd crying because Olivia had the headlamp. Until Olivia dropped it, and then she cried because she didn't have the headlamp anymore either. These toddlers that express their deep frustration over little things are still experiencing in their mind what is a perceived disaster to their lives. And they're reacting out of tears and frustration and tantrums because they're not quite sure what to do with this disaster that has just occurred in their lives. Although when we look at it, it's just a small thing. But aren't we as adults just the same? As we experience suffering, brokenness, and disasters in our lives and in our world, don't we just want to lay on the floor kicking and screaming sometimes? Instead, we sometimes have more maturity and don't quite go full tantrum, but we still feel that same deep frustration. Our gospel this morning is one filled with disasters and promises of hope. Our gospel this morning is asking Jesus, when will the temple be destroyed? Because Jesus is talking about this glorious temple that is going to be completely destroyed. Not one stone will be left on another. All of them will be toppled over. This beautiful, large building that is filled with stones and gifts dedicated to God will be completely torn down. This will be huge. It will take generations to rebuild this temple. And Jesus says, in answering the question, when will this be? He says, be careful. There are going to be false prophets. They're going to show up and say, I am he, and the time is near. And Jesus warns, you will hear of wars and insurrections. Nations will rise against nations, kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and plagues. And there will be signs from heaven. A very apocalyptic text. One that we could point to and say, it's coming soon. But that's not where we take our apocalyptic texts. These are not, looking at the world around us is not signs that the world is going away. Because Jesus then goes on to say, you will be brought before kings and governors. You will be given an opportunity to testify, and I will give you words of wisdom. I will give you the story to tell. Lots of things going on in here. Lots of disasters, very heavy, heavy words. Wars and insurrections, wars, nations against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms, famines, plagues, great earthquakes. This was all happening in Jesus' time. It happened in Isaiah's time with the people of God in exile. All throughout our biblical story, we hear stories of disasters and promises of God's hope. And when I look at the world around me today, I see these same things. Wars and insurrections, kingdom against kingdom, great earthquakes, famines and plagues. Some things that have been on my mind lately, of the disasters, of the loss of human life in our world around us. With this government shutdown, we're a military family. We almost went 6 weeks without pay. That was very stressful for us, but we had many people that did go without pay. SNAP benefits were threatened. Food shelves took action to try and meet the needs if those SNAP benefits had not been distributed. For me, I'm on WIC. I kept getting notifications that WIC is still funded. And every time I got a notification, I was glad to know that I could keep using my WIC funds. But at the same time, worried that it might disappear. Because even though it's not much, it still helps our family. Farmers are seeing increase in production, but the crop prices have been down for 3 years. Tariffs have affected the sales of crops from Minnesota, and we're looking, people are talking, that we might be seeing the farm crisis of the 80s all over again. I don't know if you've heard, but Hermantown by Duluth is looking at building a data center. These are huge environmental impacts of water and power usage. And I learned the other day that power bills double or triple within 250 miles of a data center being within a couple years. Well, we're 250 miles away. Our world around us is filled with wars and insurrections, with great earthquakes, famines, and plagues. People are suffering all over. Yesterday I was in a meeting and someone shared that they had met a pastor in a Pacific island who was doing pastoral care for his community as climate change is causing their island to disappear under rising ocean levels. We see the fires in Canada and the smoke drifting into Minnesota that are getting worse and worse because of climate change. We're prioritizing consumerism and profits over caring for God's creation. The other thing that's been on my mind is algorithms for social media that funnel us into curating a specific thought that we then think is how the world around us works. I found out not too long ago that if a young teenage boy goes on YouTube, Instagram, video, whatever, and searches out workouts, he wants to work out, within minutes, within a few scrolls, the algorithm points him towards violence, violent promoting videos and misogyny. Videos that say that females are inferior to men. If a young girl goes and looks up the same thing, workouts, within a few scrolls, she's looking at videos of slim body image and promoting eating disorders. There's a lot going on in our world. There's a lot of division, a lot of pain and suffering. I read this text. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place. Nations will rise against nations, kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and various places, famine and plagues. There will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. I look at the world around me today, and that verse feels like it was written for me today. It's a tale as old as time. It's the story of a broken world, of a sinful humanity acting in self-interest in search of power and control. It's the age-old story. As we read through the scriptures, we see the story over and over again. As we read through our history books, we see this story over and over again. The story of a broken world, of people in search of power over others, causing chaos, causing wars, famines and plagues, and great earthquakes. But in this scripture, Jesus says, "Do not be terrified. I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict." In the face of all of the struggles around us, struggles in the world and each one of us in our personal struggles in our home lives and family lives, in the face of all of this, we have a different story to proclaim. The world tells a story of hatred, of division, of chaos, of blaming others. But Jesus has given us words and wisdom that the story that the world tells will not be able to withstand or contradict. The hymn we sang, we just got done singing, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." When we place our trust and our hope in the ways of the world, in the promises that we are being told by our leaders to lean on worldly things, that ground is sinking sand. But it is on Christ, the solid rock, that we stand. We have a different story to proclaim. We have the story of the resurrection. We have the story of God's presence with us through the valleys of death, through the trials of life. We have the promises of sin from salvation, or salvation from sin and death. Jesus on that cross died with the sin and death of this world and came back to life, bringing us promises of hope, of new life, and of that love will always win. In the midst of the struggle and grief, the hunger and violence and disasters of this world, God walks with us. God knows suffering from being there on that cross and promises us that that is not the end. We have a story to proclaim, the story that we proclaim in word and deed, in what we say and what we do. And we proclaim this for the sake of the gospel, but more so, we proclaim our story of hope for the sake of the world, for the sake of everyone around us who desperately needs to hear this message of hope, this message of love, this message that God walks with us in the midst of all of the things that go on in this world. Soon, we are going to be hearing Mary's song, who Jesus is, that baby that she's just about to be pregnant with as we walk through Advent. Mary's song said, "God's mercy is for us. God's strength and steadfastness walks with us and carries us through. The powerful are brought down from their thrones, and the lowly are lifted up. The hungry are filled, and the rich are sent away empty." We have a story to tell. For the sake of the world that is broken and hurting, we have a story that sin and death and power don't have the final say, that God's presence with us in the midst of suffering, that Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection brings us salvation, that in the midst of all that could go wrong and is going wrong in our world, In the midst of all of the struggle, we stand on Christ, our solid rock, proclaiming for the sake of the world a message of healing and hope, of God's presence with us, bringing light, life, a new kingdom, a new heaven, and a new earth. God is working in our midst, working with us and through us, walking with us in the midst of all that might happen, of all the wars and insurrections, giving us words and wisdom to not be terrified and to tell the story of God's love for this world. Amen.